All right, I am back after quite a few weeks away after taking some much needed time off to grieve the loss of my mother at the end of August. Yes, it's been a bumpy ride. Do appreciate all those of you who've given your support and your sympathies through the socials and through other means, and really, really is appreciative and does help going through these trying times. This is like my first really big grief experience in my life. So there's been a lot of great people close by, give me some great support, and then all the well wishes are always well appreciated. And so it's been tough. But looking to get back and continue, sharing my life and ways for you to have your life be more fulfilling, because these challenges, they inevitably kind of happen to all of us, and it really is, it's about how we get through times like this. And I'm finding the more we do it together, and the more we look to those around us who maybe have gone through it before, even though it's maybe there's nothing easy about some of these things that happen to us in life, it can be easier, and we can find the good in it. Just like, I was able to find a lot of good looking back over my relationship with my mother and her life and things like that, which kind of brings me to today's episode, where I'm going to be sharing what I spoke at my mother's funeral in mid-September. So I'm going to share the audio of that, where the theme that kind of really came to me about my mother's life was that she, in a lot of ways, was breaking away from that traditional living the life that you should. And she, more or less lived the life that she could, the life that she wanted. And I feel like that's one of the biggest lessons she passed on to me. And probably if she'd been around more, she probably would have also continued to teach me that, live the life that you want, and also connect with people and love people and, be joyful with others. So that's why I'm wanting to share this with you, because you've been listening, or you're starting to listen, get to know me. Because really, my favorite radio shows, always growing up, were ones where the host really let us into their personal life. Like, it wasn't just, okay, you're just listening to something that probably anybody could. It was really like, this is Howard Stern's show, and Howard Stern is bringing his life. And similar with Adam Carolla. And you might have opinions about them, whatever, but they really brought a lot of who they are to it. And that's kind of what I've been all about in my podcast, is I want to really show up how I am with my life as much as possible, so that you can see that I'm a human living this human experience, doing my best. And anything that I can learn, I want to pass that on, whether it's through direct lessons, or maybe just you heard how I did something and you're like, oh shit, I don't want to fucking do that. So going to be sharing the recording, and my dad, I know he's going to hate this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't apologize, because I will not be silenced. I will not be shamed. I will use my voice, and I will do what I'm meant to do here, and doing this podcast and sharing my life and my lessons with the people that are ready and wanting to hear it. That's what I'm here for. He said to me that, I don't get you monetizing your fucked up family. One, I don't see my family as fucked up. I just see it as it's just a group of people that were born into a unit, and everybody was doing the best with what they had, and everybody's learning their lessons. And do people make mistakes? Do people say mean things? Do people do hurtful things? Yeah, but ideally you try to learn from it and you try to see your part in it and do better. That's what I've always done. And, you know, not all of my family members seem to, you know, want to live that way. And that's okay. I just don't have to tolerate it. I don't have to confuse family for abuse. So whenever there's going to be something that's like insulting or shameful, like the door is closed to that. That is not tolerated. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you donated genetics to me. You're not allowed to do that, period, end of story. Yet, I'm always happy to open the door up, you know, when someone wants to come in a friendly way, out of love, support, trust, communication. That's always a basis for a good relationship. I don't care, you know, where we come from. Doesn't matter, you know, what our previous relationship's been or could be. Then, hey, let's talk, let's get together, let's figure out how we can support each other in growth. So, you know, just because there's been behaviors that have happened in the past, behaviors can change, can always do different. It's always possible, because I believe that ultimately, deep down, we're just big bundles of love energy. It's crazy that might sound, that kind of all this other shit that sometimes happens to us, that we do to other people, that's not really who we are. And so there's a lot of stuff that my dad criticized that's in this that you're about to hear, because I bring up my vasectomy. He said nobody wanted to hear that. And if you listen, the reason I bring it up is because that's the last voicemail that my mom left me before she died, was concerning my vasectomy. So I don't care if nobody cares. That was important to me. And it had an important point about the relationship between me and my mother that I brought up. And so I want to share that with you. And I want to share that with the people that were there that day in person. It was, you know, very heartwarming to see how many people after so many years showed up to the city in Iowa near where my mom was born. So, you know, 72 years ago. And people that went to high school with her came out and wanted to shake my hand. It was beautiful. So, I'm not going to be silenced. I'm going to do what I do. If I wanted to make money, there's easier ways to make money. This is not an easy way to make money. What I'm doing. I have actually yet to make money doing what I'm doing yet. The tide will be turning sooner, because I'm coming into my own, man. Like already people are learning, people are getting helped, people are living fulfilling lives, and I've got some big stuff on the way. That's probably enough setup. So without further ado, here is the recording of me talking at my mother's funeral. It's about the life you could be living versus the life you should be living. So get over that shame. No one owes you. No one owns you. You don't owe anybody anything for being born. All right. Enjoy. I didn't know it would be my time to so soon. That's probably what my mom thought. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to cry. Like nobody knows what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. Then it happens, and that's just beautiful that we can come together, even if it's been months, years, decades. Just remember the times we shared with this person and the things we learned and maybe the things that we still want to learn while we're here, while we have this time together. It was kind of funny when I heard the news, and I kind of was like, I want to speak at the service, and like I know exactly what I wanted to wear, and I'm from California, but I'm not, you know, the Hollywood type. I'm like, what am I going to wear on the runway?
But I knew, I was like, I saw myself wearing this shirt I have with the white and the rainbow and that I got in Mexico. And I was like, oh, you should wear black, or you should wear something muted. And I was like, but I feel like this represents more of my mom's life. I'll share like a Mexico story, and I'll share a Hawaii story concerning her. Because I feel like a lot of my mom's life was kind of like that border of what should we be doing versus what could we be doing. Because in a lot of ways, you know, being born in 1950 to a small farm, she checked like kind of all the boxes on the life she was supposed to be living, you know. Got married, had two kids, went to school to be a teacher, married till she died. That's a successful marriage, right? That's when somebody dies in the end. But then she also showed a lot of ways of, you know, living the life that she could, the life she wanted to. And maybe, you know, she had some tough choices to make. And, you know, growing up with her, sometimes it was like, oh, I wish she would have made a better choice, but I wasn't in her shoes. So the Mexico story, I guess she had a cousin that lived in Mexico, Ensenada, and we all lived in Orange County, and we made a trip down to go visit her in Ensenada. I think we drove, I can't remember. I was about 5, so I think Brittany would have been about 2. We were walking in downtown Ensenada, among the shops and walking, and then all of a sudden, boom! Giant explosion, and just a few stores down, smoke starts billowing out of one of the shops. People start running. My mom and my dad pick up my sister, the stroller. They run, and I'm like, "Where are they going?" And some nice Mexican man picks me up and takes me about 100 yards to safety. And there's part of me where it's like, "Well, that sucked. I got left." But then the part of that was that, you know, she kind of knew that I would be okay. And I feel like a lot of my life, she let me live my life because she knew I'd be okay. Somebody else was there to pick me up, and I was capable to walk and stand, and I'm here, I'm okay. And there were many other instances where there was kind of like that, where it was like, oh, mom, why didn't you come pick me? And, but she kind of knew that, you know, I could take care of myself or be taken care of. And so I was very grateful for that gift that day, and the many other gifts, where maybe I would have wanted something different, but from her perspective and from her love, I got something else, and some ways maybe it ended up being better. And it was, you know, because, you know, both my mom and my dad, you know, from here in Iowa, but we lived in California, and so there's always this kind of like that distance from everybody that was a bit of a challenge, but you know, she loved us very much, and in some ways it was beneficial to kind of see, you know, have both my mom and my dad, you know, making that hard challenge to go away. Probably very similar to, you know, I think many of us have, you know, great grandparents that in the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, they left Europe to come here, and just imagine how hard that was, and how hard it was for my mom and dad, you know, to move out to Hawaii and then eventually to Orange County, California. But then that kind of enabled it to make it a little bit easier for me to do like my journey and, you know, move out from Orange County and go all the way up to Northern California, which is about an hour and a half away. But just that she would live the life that she wanted. There was a lot of things that I was like, I wish she would have done it this way or that way, but in retrospect, I'm happy she did it her way. So I got married about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and then divorced only about a year and a half after. And it was a destination wedding in Costa Rica. And got a travel agent, got everything set up, so I wanted to make it easy for her to make it. But she was like, no, just not going to make it. And you know, that kind of hurt. But then it was also in some ways, she didn't want to go. She didn't want to travel, or she didn't want to leave what was going on at home. And often I'd ask her, like, oh, Mom, why do you want to be in this house in Orange County? It's a giant house. It's four bedroom. No, wait, six. It's six bedroom, four bathroom. I got the number of bathrooms and the bedroom mixed up. And it was, you know, mostly, you know, my mom living there. And I was like, why do you want to be in this big house? Like, all your family's in Iowa. You go back there. And she's like, I got my shops here. I got my doctors here. I like it here. And she did what she liked and did what she wanted. You know, she was started living the life that she could, not the life that she should. And, you know, at times it was tough, but I respect it. And then she also, it went both ways, where I know I did a lot of things that maybe she didn't appreciate. I was going through my voicemails to hear what the most recent, you know, voicemail she would have left me, because we didn't really talk all that often. But it was in May. It was after I got a vasectomy, and she was like, "What? Why did you do that?" Because usually she doesn't get very upset about anything after all these years. And I was like, "Well, I didn't want to have to worry about that." And it can be reversed. And then she was like, "Oh, okay, all right, okay." But I think even if I said, "Okay, no, this is permanent," or whatever, I knew she still would have loved me. But it was just kind of that dance of, "Well, I shouldn't do something like that until I have kids. That's how I should do it." But I was like, "Well, I could get this done and not have to worry about it." And then I knew she still would love me, still does love me, even if I wasn't doing what maybe in the moment she felt like I should be doing. And I think I'll do one more story about Hawaii, because it kind of involves a lot of the things that she loves, because she really loved music. She really loved like dancing. I guess one of the last movies she went and saw was the movie Elvis, which had so much great music and so much beauty and sadness too. This is a story that happened before I was born, but I did an interview with her, so I think I have about like 5 hours of recordings of me and my mom taken in February of last year. And so this is a story in Hawaii. So this would have been, I don't know, a year, maybe a couple before I was born. And it's been great getting to talk to people and hear stuff, because I'm getting even more flavor and color about, you know, my mom's life. Because Diane Wigdahl, I was like, oh, she's here. Because my mom would tell stories so often. I was just talking about how when the Beatles were, I think, on Ed Sullivan, and you know, came on, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is something like never before seen. So my mom was telling me about one of the funnest nights in her entire life was when she was in Hawaii, and my dad was on a cruise, which is what they would refer to. He's in the Marine Corps and would have to be stationed on a like an aircraft carrier or other ship for 6 months at a time. And then so my mom's just there in Hawaii, and I guess the military wives kind of console each other, things like that. And I'd assume the thing that, you know, a good military wife should do is probably just sit at home and just be, you know, writing about, you know, dear husband, I miss you so much. And but apparently there was some music concert or something. She said it was mostly classical type music. And I went with a couple of the military wives, and they each had a bottle of wine. She said it was a small bottle, and I don't even know if that there was such a thing. She liked to minimize things. She said, had a bottle of wine. It was just so much fun. And then these gentlemen, these British gentlemen, came up and started talking to them, and they were just so delightful, so much fun. And they wanted to try to get the wives to come with them to somewhere else. And she said, "Well, I didn't do it, but one of the other women did." I don't know what's true or what's not. But she said it was the best night, one of the best nights ever. So close your ears, Dad, earmuffs. But it was just, you know, reminded me that, you know, so much she was just living the life that she could, the life that she wanted, the life that was fun. And that even though there might have been times where I wished maybe things would have been different, in the end, I'm grateful for everything the way it was. and is and how it is going to be, that we all kind of have this opportunity to maybe not do the thing that we should be doing, but maybe do the thing that we could be doing, the thing that lights us up, the thing that brings joy to us and to others. So I guess if I'd ask anything, it's, you know, as we're maybe meeting and greeting and talking and, you know, we can still do the condolences thing, but maybe we can check in and be like, what is it that you're really enjoying about life or would like to be enjoying in your life? A lot of times, sometimes the answer is going to be, I don't know. I don't know what I like in life. And that's okay too. We can just have fun, finding out maybe what we want to enjoy in life. So maybe it's a little something that we can chat and enjoy. And I kind of want to end with just reading something, because I think I'll probably not be able to talk after I read this, because like I read it and just really, yeah, it'll be fine. So this is from a poet, Young Pueblo, just kind of like really writes from the soul to the soul. Sometimes the end is sudden and you are left without closure, heartbroken and unprepared for such a sharp change. For a while, you live with a mind that is half here and half full of regret, wondering, what if? For a while, your heart only feels grief and your mind only sees gray. And then life starts to call you back into its arena of possibility. It reminds you that all is not lost, and that even though a chapter ended, there is still a longer story to be told. With time and intention, wounds lose their heaviness. Healing fills the tough parts of your being, and you awaken the light of love within yourself. In time, you will return fully into the precious now with a heart that feels refreshed and ready to move forward. Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening. I hope you got something out of that, because re-listening to it, I definitely felt feelings, and there's a little bit where I'm like, boy, that was actually pretty fucking good. So even though my dad's not proud of me for it, found a lot of things disappointing and disheartening and painful about it, I'm very proud of that. And I hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy something from it, please let me know. That'd be great to hear. So the way to contact me is coming up. And if there's anything that you'd like to, you know, hear about and topics you'd like discussed, please also send those to me, because I do want to make this a show where it's, you know, get to learn about me, but we're also addressing the issues that you really care about. So thanks so much. Do appreciate it. And, we're going to be getting back into the groove, because this is what I do. Yeah, there's a lot of times it's like I wish I could just, you know, head down, do what I was educated to do, but I'm just compelled to do this podcast, compelled to do my coaching, compelled to do a lot of other stuff that it's not easy, but it's fulfilling. So I wouldn't call this hard work. I'd call it satisfying effort that requires some discipline. So thank you all for your support and listening, and keep on listening, and we'll be back soon.